It's time for our weekly review of state news with news guy Noah Ovshinsky. And one of the biggest stories of the week, the Senate Majority Leader proposed a new plan to fund a new arena for the Milwaukee Bucks. And the UW system was also in the news this week after President Ray Kross said there may be changes to how the system handles tenure for professors. We'll cover those stories and more right now with Assistant News Director Noah Ovshinsky. Noah, welcome back.
It is good to be here, and happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you as well. Okay, so this ongoing story, we've been covering it for a while over a potential new arena for the Bucks and some other uses. New developments this week.
Yeah, basically there are some competing proposals that are floating around, and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald is the latest to float a proposal, and it actually involves the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands. Under Fitzgerald's plan, this new Bucks arena would be financed by this Board of Commissioners of Public Lands, something to the tune of around $150 million, with the city and county coming up with an unspecified amount of additional money.
This affects the Milwaukee area in particular. Any word from Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett on this?
Yeah, so Tom Barrett said this week there were elements of Fitzgerald's plan that he liked, but that he actually still preferred Governor Walker's plan, which was released several weeks ago. Barrett says the key question is how much, you know, will, when it's all said and done, how much will the city and county be on the hook for as far as this new arena? And Fitzgerald's plan doesn't really address that with any sort of specifics.
And Governor Walker, this plan was part of his big budget release earlier this year. This is one of the parts of the plan that legislators have not embraced warmly, to say the least. But give us the gist of what he's looking for the arena.
Right. So the governor's plan is a bit larger than Fitzgerald's, and the role of the city and county is a bit more clear, I'd say. It's a $220 million plan, and the money would be raised through traditional bonding. And would leave the city and county with a bill of around $50 million or so, which Barrett says, he is confident that the city and county could pick up at the end of the day.
So this new plan centers around the Board of Commissioners of Public Land.
Yes.
Not a household phrase.
No.
What is that?
Not in mine, at least. Isn't it? Actually, good question. It's actually a board that lends money to local governments in Wisconsin at low interest rates. And let me give you an example. And this is probably a high-profile example. Lambeau Field actually received a loan of around $67 million through this board in the past.
Now, what is the estimated full price tag for this big project?
Right. So, and it's going to be much more than the money that we're talking about here. The number that is being thrown around is about $500 million when it's all said and done. Now, past and present owners of the Bucks have committed something like $250 million to the project. So the question is, you know, who's going to pick up the rest of that money and how involved is the state going to be? And thusly, how much are taxpayers going to be on the hook for the final total of the construction of this arena?
So we've mentioned the state, the city, one player we haven't gotten into, the county, Milwaukee County.
Right. So County Executive Chris Abley says he is also working on a plan, at least a plan that covers the city and county's contribution. The details, though, have not been released.
All right. Well, some more fallout from the governor's budget proposal. This one we've been talking about in the past few weeks. The UW system budget. The UW system president has been speaking out over the last week or so on this.
Right. So Ray Kross continued his tour of UW campuses this week. He's been doing this tour since news of this $300 million proposed cut surfaced with the governor's budget. During a visit to UW Eau Claire this week, he conceded that there may be changes necessary for tenure around the system.
Yeah, this has been a controversy, not just in this budget, but especially since this budget came out. So talk us through the debate over tenure so far.
Right. So Governor Walker's budget essentially eliminates the statute that allows for tenure and shifts that decision-making over to a public authority, the Board of Regents. And that would essentially run the system under the governor's plan. Now, the Board of Regents is on the record supporting tenure protections, but the public authority model itself is, I would say, in limbo.
Right. So tenure is there now under state law.
Yes.
If Governor Walker's plan went through without changes, still there as run probably by the Board of Regents. But as you say, again, this is something that that Republican legislators haven't necessarily embraced. So what happens to tenure if the public authority isn't created as the governor had proposed.
Right. So if the system remains under the control of the legislature, there's really a real question as to whether these kinds of protections will last. And if so, in what form? Several key lawmakers are not big fans of the current tenure system. So a big question mark moving forward if the public authority isn't created.
So tenure, in a nutshell, a form of job protection for professors. The idea historically has been to say to make sure they have independence.
Right, academic freedom.
Study, write what they want, academic freedom. So Ray Cross, president of the UW system, what's he been saying on this tenure issue?
Right, so today or this week at UW-Eau Claire, he said, now currently there's this post-tenure review, which happens every 5 years. But beyond that, nothing much happens. Cross would like there to be a carrot after the sort of post-tenure review and some kind of financial reward for good performance. On the other side, though, Cross says there should also be a stick. And he says faculty who aren't meeting expectations should be put on probation. And then if no improvement is made, they should be dismissed. So quite a departure from current tenure policy.
Yeah, so how would a tenured faculty member be dismissed under what's going on now?
Yeah, it's a pretty difficult and time-consuming process. Under state law, they could only be fired for what's called just cause.
And, you know, a lot of strained relationships here, the legislature and the UW, among others. How about the UW system president and the faculty?
Because obviously this is what we're talking about, the faculty. You know, tenure is a major issue for the faculty. And I would say the relationship between Cross and faculty is strained. And, you know, a lot of staff and faculty are upset with his plan that he came up with to create this public authority. They argue that the debate has really gone on without really any sort of transparency, and that this whole issue of turning over the system to this public authority just hasn't been studied enough to make such a change so quickly.
Talking to News Guide Noah Ovshinsky about the top stories in Wisconsin politics this week. Here's a new one, a proposal on regulating those rideshare app-driven things, the Ubers and the Lyfts of the world.
Right. So the State Assembly and Senate actually held hearings on the legislation that would create statewide standards for these kinds of ride-sharing companies like Uber and Lyft.
So why is this happening now? We've been seeing stories about these guys for a while now.
Yeah.
Around the country.
I find this to be an interesting story because it really reflects how government, which, you know, doesn't always move quickly, has to adapt to rapid changes in technology. And in just a few years, you know, these ride sharing companies have exploded, you know, aided in part by the proliferation of smartphones. And this is just an example of the state, I think, trying to, you know, keep up, frankly.
Mm-hmm. And so why a statewide standard?
Well, in the absence of any statewide regulations, local governments have had to deal with how to regulate these companies. Now, remember, these aren't traditional cab companies. These are people who use cell phone apps to find and secure transportation from drivers who are essentially private contractors, although Uber and Lyft kind of facilitate the transaction. Madison has several big companies, and this debate has been going on for more than a year about how Uber and Lyft, which are competing for customers with cab companies, how they should be regulated.
And what does this legislation do then at the state level?
So it creates rules that address licensing, safety, criminal background checks, for instance, and insurance. Supporters say it will help these companies expand and, you know, ultimately help communities that are underserved by taxis, perhaps in like more rural areas.
And this did not meet with universal agreement and approval. What have critics said about this proposal?
Right. So for some, this legislation really is an attack on local control. For instance, a gentleman who has worked for Union Cab in Madison for more than 20 years says, you know, local governments should have the ability to opt out. You know, they argue not every ride sharing experience is a good one, and that cities and towns should have the power to add more accountability if they want.
All right, we'll watch this one as it progresses through the usual procedures. Noah, thanks as always for joining us.
It was good to be here. Thanks, Rob.
It's WPR's Assistant News Director Noah Ovshinsky covering some of the big stories around the state this week for our Wisconsin News Roundup.